Meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline.
Loveline.
With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Yeah, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Listening, yeah. Listening to the news today, we've added more cops.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is that just to do
more cops?
Is that for the ride around the meter maid things?
You know, they never really touch on that part, which is I hear more cops. I think more chicken ass tickets in this town. I don't think more safety.
Right. You don't think they're going to where you want them to go.
They never do that, though. They're always like, we got more cops on the street. Yeah. On the street handing me out tickets for not having a front license plate. Those kind of cops on the street?
Yep.
Yeah. How about we do this? How about we take the cops we do have and get them off the chicken ass detail? How about that one? Let the meter maids hand out? Really? Do we really want the cops pulling people over and handing out no front license plate tickets? We don't leave that to the meter maid? Cop? No? Shouldn't you be tackling perps into a pyramid of cardboard boxes in an alley and then jumping on a car hood?
Yeah, like every good... Yeah. Cop movie I've ever seen.
Cops don't jump on car hoods anymore.
No. Well, they used to slide across them, yeah.
Well, they would slide across them to get in the car.
Right.
Anyone knows it can take half hour, 45 minutes to get around the front of your car.
Sure. Yeah.
Much faster just to actually slide across the hood of the car and get to the driver's side.
Right.
Yeah. More and, you know, in England, if you're a cop, you got to go the other direction.
Of course.
It's on the other side. But a lot of the bad guys getting away, I'm jumping on the hood of the car.
Speaking of England, read this report of my news release just popped up on my...
London, England report, reforms needed is only one-fifth, needed is only one-fifth of international aid actually gets to the... Fifth of international aid actually gets to the people who need... Does it just keep adding one word as you scroll across?
Who need it. Yes.
Who need it? Are you talking about tsunami?
Yes.
Oh.
This is what I'm saying.
You got wavos bigger than the wave that hit the islands.
I do, and I feel so good about it. You have no idea. I feel completely confident about
this. Let me explain why you have the Asperger syndrome. I'll tell you why you have the Asperger syndrome. Because you sat here on the phone and in person and said you just don't know where that money's going about five times to the guy who donated 15 grand. To the tsunami relief. That's number one. Socially, strange call, I would say. There are other ways to do it, but you just know where that money's going is a strange call.
I don't think I brought it up when the people were here. I kept my mouth shut.
Now you did when the people are here, and you did it when they were on the phone as well.
I did when they were on the phone.
Strange call. But number two, and this is how you know Drew doesn't lie. You know what you do? In the future, you do that thing where you go, yeah, you do what everyone you know would do, which is... Yeah, you know, my wife gave something. I don't know. We'd have to ask her what she gave.
No, I can't do that.
Well, then, here's what you do. Yeah. You get your wife to give $300, and you just say she gave something, and whatever. You just give something. You can't sit there and go, I don't know where that money's going in front of the guy who spent his last 15 grand on it.
Well, he decides it's where he wants to put it.
Where that money's going. Feels good. Feels great. Welcome to the show. The other thing, though, as I told you, is you give it to the Red Cross. Now, I don't know... You know, look, here's the deal with almost all charities. It's just who the hell knows. But you give it to the Red Cross. Yeah. If you give it to the Red Cross, you figure that's about the best you can do.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. It's one of those things, too, that's just sort of relative. Like, all right, if one quarter of the money actually makes it to it, then for every million, they get 250 grand.
Oh, no, they need money. Don't get me wrong.
So we get 5 million, they get 1.25.
No, I'm not saying people shouldn't give. I'm just saying I want to make sure the stuff I really feel strongly about gets covered this year. I'm going to triple down on that. And
all
that's
right.
That.
Well, all right. Drew's obviously weighing on Drew's
it's
mind.
A passionate, it's giving. A passionate...
Here's what I'm saying.
Passionate
I know. I know you're a passionate man. Let me just bring up 2 points because you brought it up. Number one, what kind of human being sits here and tries to raise money for the Tsunami Relief Fund or any fund and then mentions you don't know where that money's going out of the other side of his mouth? Bizarre. You got to check that out.
No, I'll give you that.
All right. That's interesting. There's a part of me that respects it, but it sure is interesting. Number one. Number two, you do have the Red Cross. And number three, as I said, the whole thing about the sort of act of God stuff is you give, we all have our charities,
mm-hmm.
and we all give to our charities, and then once every 1,000 years, a volcano goes off, and you got to kick over to the Volcano Relief Fund, as well as whatever your charities are. Okay, that's all I'm saying. Drew, yes.
Nah.
Yeah. You done?
No, but it's all right.
We'll finish. Well, what do you got?
I'm just going to say that it was just getting irritating to me that every PR and anybody wanted to use this for PR, they got tons of money. The money was adequate.
I agree.
And then everybody was sort of piling on as a way of beating their chest and saying, look at me, look what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Like, no, come on. Let's get my Hillside Home for the Children a fund this year. Let's go do it. Come on. Let's build
one. Yeah, I know. But this is how it always works. AIDS gets more than its fair share.
Breast cancer gets more.
I don't like it either. But here's the deal. You were out of town, ironically, making money the night we did the big run over here, and you missed out on giving the money.
No.
Had you been here and ironically not making other money, you would have had to kick in, I'm sure. Well, it would have been a very
more uncomfortable.
Very uncomfortable evening with Linkin Park in here giving $100,000 and you saying you don't know where that money's going. Probably 750 times. Anyway, listen, there's a part of me that appreciates your candor.
That's right.
And then there's part of me wants to vomit all over your alligator
That's
shoes.
That's the way it goes.
All right. Interesting. All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Jason?
Yeah.
You're 28?
Yes.
What's up?
Well, I was calling. My wife just doesn't seem to be much into me going down on her. So.
Good. You're fine. That's all right. There you go.
Dodge the bullet.
That's right. Next.
Get to the point.
Yeah. So what?
So I enjoy going down on her, but wanna know if there's anything that I could possibly do to make her more comfortable with it.
Well, what's her problem with it?
I don't know. She seems kind of like uneasy with the whole, like, just even when I start to do it, she like seems to tense up and.
Is she orgasmic during intercourse?
Yeah. Totally.
Multi-orgasmic?
Yeah. Not.
No, she is.
All right, here are your reasons.
Well, she's going to say multi-orgasmic, she said.
Here's your reasons for not enjoying someone going down on you as a woman.
Female, yeah.
As a female. Uncle did something weird to you.
Mm-hmm.
Just super self-conscious about yourself.
And that's sort of, I'm ugly down there. And
or ugly in general, or smelly, or...
Yeah.
There's certain people that are just uncomfortable in their own skin.
I just spent a whole weekend talking to women who start to feel weird about it after babies. They start to feel like that part's not looking right.
All right. And then they're just the ones that are super orgasmic and horny, and like they just want to cut to the chase.
Well, it's too intense, it's uncomfortable.
It's intense.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
And that is no way you're going to talk that person into orgasm.
So those you're gonna have a hard time with the uncle victim too.
Really, with any of them,
because
even the one that feels that she looks weird down there, and you say, "Honey, you're great. I think you're wonderful." She's pissed now. Now she's angry. Like, you don't appreciate how I feel. You don't understand. I don't feel sexy. Now I'm mad at you. We're not doing this.
Yeah.
So you can't win on that one either.
Yeah, I don't know if she's going to get angry at you, but if you put the screws to her, she might. And furthermore, as I said, it doesn't even have to be ugly down there. It can just be, I don't feel attractive in general.
Right.
So I don't know which one your wife is, but it doesn't matter which one she is. It's going to be tough. You could try sort of plying her with a glass of red wine, lighting a candle, and just telling her just to, you know, sit back and stare at the ceiling for 10 minutes and to, you know, let it get out of her head a little bit, you know?
Right.
Which you can do. Now, here's the thing, too, with everybody and their weird behavior. If you're close to it, you may be a glass of red wine, a nice hot, nice jacuzzi, and romantic... Little Nat King Cole record away from actually doing a few things.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're a million miles away, there's not an ether rag big enough. Right?
Right.
So if you're one of these people that's kind of teetering, you just, you know, put the kids to bed early, you know, draw the drapes, light the candle, you could probably pull it off.
Right. But then again, he's not looking for that. She wants to hit her, enjoy it completely. And she's not that person.
Yeah. So it's not her.
Not her.
Mm-hmm. And go ahead, fine. Don't take it personally. Oh, sorry. Yeah, Jillian.
Yeah, that's me. My question is: my fiance started on Adderall for ADD about 4 months ago. He's really lost his sex drive since then, and I'm not really a pro about saying that we should go and like treat medications of other medications, but I'm kind of wondering if there's something like Viagra or something like that that should give him, or if there's something else.
The Viagra would be helpful in terms of sort of getting him ready, but it's not going to increase his drive so much. I mean, guys, when they get aroused, will get some drive, but that's not going to really check his do much for his libido. What is with the Adderall? What are the symptoms? Is it just Adderall he's taking, first of all?
Yeah, he's just taking Adderall. It's only
and what are the? Has he been a drug addict ever?
No.
Never been an alcoholic or an addict?
No.
And
very
what are the
straight arrow.
All right. What are the symptoms that he's had trouble with?
A lifetime of school. Since he's taken it, he's done really well in school, like completely a turnaround. Like from being like a D student to like an BA student. So I feel torn because I just wanted to take it. We're getting married in the end of this month, and I'm concerned about our honeymoon. But and then again, it's also helping him out.
Wow. Why is he, you say, still a student?
Yeah.
How old is he?
Semester.
All right. Why not let him finish school and get a job and then get married?
Oh, we already
and then
have
get off the Adderall.
Oh, you already made wedding plans. Oh, okay. What are you going to do?
I don't think there's any problem with him getting up.
Thank Christ it weren't made when you were 11.
Of course.
You just have to
do it.
With this guy. Yeah.
You just have to go.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you wearing your mom's wedding dress?
No. It's just in the courthouse.
Right. But when you want to justify the extreme expense of your wedding dress, you can say to your husband, our daughter will wear it one day. Which never ends up happening.
Which never happens.
Biggest lie propagated by women is, I'm going to spend $2,700 on a dress, but here's the good news. Our daughter's going to wear it.
This is the family investment.
By the way, best case scenario, two wearings. That ain't exactly Levi's. You know what I mean? All right, first off, for this dress to pay for itself, I'm going to start leasing it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not.
By the way, $2,700, cheap wedding dress.
Whatever. Whatever they pay. It's something. And then you got to pay to store the thing. They just put it in a box.
Yes.
Come on. What's going
Especially,
yes. They pull it out. Yeah, their daughter. And then I said, that's the answer. Our daughter. Where's your mom's wedding dress?
She didn't spend $2,700.
Yeah.
It was $400 in their day.
Yeah, which was $3,100 back in 1951. Right. All right. We got to... all right, so go, I don't know. Getting married at 23. Who wants to get married when people are still in school?
I know. That's always a mistake.
Don't you want the guy to get a job?
Well, the men especially.
Not only,
women don't think like that, but men sure do. They want to see who they are in the world before they settle in.
Yeah.
And so, anyway, his stuff is all a little suspect. On Adderall, these students, not a history of addiction, now he's an A student, all rather suspect stuff. Getting married at 23, but here's the deal. If he really does need it to function, then that is the place for Viagra. That's what it was invented for, or Cialis or Levitra. And yes, I agree, it's not a good idea to take a medicine for a medicine, but that may be all you're stuck with here.
Let's move forward and talk a little iPod Shuffle. Because tonight and for the rest of the week, we're going to be giving away one of these iPod Shuffles. And also 20 free songs from iTunes Music Store.
Yeah, I've been saying that every night. You missed that, huh?
Oh, really? Yeah, I did miss that. I also missed... Ann never told me anything about that either. I guess I tune out when you talk. At the beginning of each show... Oh, that's now... We're going to tell you what bumper to listen for. And I think that's funny about this stupid promotion is a bumper is the music that you hear when we come back from commercial break. Well, why don't we just say what to listen for when we come back from commercial break? We don't have to label it.
Vertigo by U2.
Vertigo by U2 is the bumper, which is the music here when we come back.
Is this the song?
And you just call the 1-800.
Well, Anna's now you're going to freak everyone out. They're all going to run to the phones now.
We got a little example.
Now, we don't mean now. Later on, as we come out of a commercial.
Yeah. You just call the 1-800-LOVE-191.
Wow, Anderson's here with a head of steam.
Well, he's been... He was up at Camp Jack in the Box for like 10 days.
A head of steam? I played you, too. I didn't even want to. I just wanted to get
fired up. Yeah.
Fired up, we can tell.
Do we have to hear that crappy U2?
Well, anyway, when you, hear the crappy U2, you dial 1-800-LOVE-191, and the first person to say iPod Shuffle wins the iPod Shuffle and the 20 tunes.
Here's my dream. my dream is that Bono and Sean Penn leave and just go somewhere and start complaining.
They move in with the Streisand.
Streisand, Bono, and Sean Penn move to some island where all they do is complain. That's all I want. I mean, Sean Penn, at least he's here. All he does is complain about the man, but at least he's from here. Bono, not from here.
Mm.
I really would like to just send Bob Seger to Ireland and just have him do nothing but whine. What's going on around here? You're not doing enough. What about AIDS? What would they do to him? They'd just hack him into pieces.
Yes.
They'd immediately be killed. Mm-hmm. Imagine if we just sent one of our pop singers. It's funnier if it's a guy from the 70s. I'd like to send Ted Nugent to Dublin, and all he would do is whine. He's just complaining about what the government's doing and not doing, what they could be doing, how they're polluting, what's going on.
Let's step back for a second and look at that. First of all, the guys that, you know, I did these personality profiles. I don't know if our listeners know, but
when is this guy's visa going to run out?
Yeah.
He's been here for 20 years complaining. Just move home, would you?
But I've been doing these personality profiles. We did them on rock stars, and they all had very, very serious attachment issues and social tendencies, addiction problems. So, okay, so you can bet that Bono fits that profile because and all these complaining guys, right?
Yes.
That they are antisocial. So they have something happened to them, so they see things being done to them in everything.
Right.
If somebody in authority cannot possibly have their best interest in mind ever.
Right.
So they're you know, sort of...
Yes.
Prone to this kind of complaining.
Yes, they
now,
are.
What
I really think that is an exclusive American trait, though. Yeah. This is what happens. We have too much time and too much money.
Right.
I don't think it happens in Africa or almost any other place.
They went right to that kind of a life. They never had to work their way up. They never had to earn a wage, pay a payroll, pay taxes. Somebody took care of that for them.
Yeah.
So any functioning in society never really happened.
Well, the number one thing these guys have is no sense of humor, and then the number two thing they have is even less sense of humor about themselves.
Mm.
You can't talk in front of them without them correcting you. Mm-hmm. You can't make a joke without them thinking it's insensitive.
Does this remind you of the he-she we had in here? the girl that became a male?
Yes, so angry.
Yes.
Yeah, I know. These are the people that want anarchism and all this kind of nonsense. Just believe me. Go to wherever it is. Go to whatever it is. Go to one of these other countries and give it a shake. Have fun. Just go over there. See how they treat you for a little while. And don't give me that crap.
But don't go through as a tourist. Go live for a while.
Go live there. Give it 10 years, and then give us a call. We'll tell you whether we're ready to receive you again. I'm guessing the answer will be no. But look, please just leave. Just quit your whining, please. Oh, Bono.
What would they do without a target to whine about?
Because
really, if things were that bad, they should just go somewhere like...
There's plenty of problems in Ireland. Just go over there and straighten them out, would you? That's all. Just go straighten it out over there. And then when you get your mother island all straightened out, and you come over here and help out.
Perfect.
Okay? Until then, you shut your pie hole. Your haggis hole.
That's Scottish.
I know it's Scottish, but you know they have haggis in Ireland.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
Well, haggis hole, then.
Lisa?
Hi.
Yeah. Haggis hole is good.
It is good. It is
Shut
very good.
Your haggis hole. Yeah, it's because it's got what you call alliteration.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet. Lisa?
Hi.
Sorry, baby doll. What's up?
Oh, no. That's okay. Thanks for taking my call. I'm 20. My 25-year-old brother, he lives at home. He has paranoid schizophrenia.
Uh-oh.
And, yeah. for the past, month, I don't know why all of a sudden started happening, but... I'm sorry, for the past 2 months, about 5 or 6 times, we have one computer, and it's in the den, and he's been masturbating and not cleaning up after himself.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Where do you have one of those woods lights they use in CSI?
Or is it piled up somewhere?
No, it's like tissues all bundled up and like
leaves.
Well, what do they do? Well, where is the tissue?
What do you mean?
Well, you say tissues all bundled up. Are they left on the keyboard or on the computer table?
Yeah, on the keyboard, on the desk, and on the carpet and stuff. So.
Oh, he doesn't throw them away?
No, that's what I mean. Is he doesn't.
Lisa,
yeah?
That is something that schizophrenics do. I had one that used to hold on to your shorts here. Used to take his stool, roll it up in little Play-Doh, and line it up. And leave it for us. Like, you know, outside of the hospital room, it has those little places where the charts go.
Mm-hmm.
He'd pack them in there and line them up for us.
Yeah, no, and a lot of it, you know, I really understand to the point that it really doesn't bother me with his dishes and his clothes and stuff. I mean, it really doesn't bother me. But this is just like, I don't know, I just feel like it's really inappropriate. And
but he's schizophrenic. They say, as I'm saying, they take their excrement of wherever, whatever it is, and they sort of line it up and leave it places.
How do you know he's not blowing his nose?
Well, you can just tell.
Ugh.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Like,
no, hey, listen, I'm trying to give the kid a break.
All right, here's the deal. A, make sure his meds are straightened out.
Uh-huh.
B, you shouldn't have to deal with that.
How do you talk to him about it without shaming him?
Well, here's the thing. Here's my actual question is, I don't want to talk to him about it. I don't want my dad to talk to him about it because I think it might freak him out. So I want to know if it's too intrusive for me to leave a message for his psychiatrist. I don't even know if my brother, I mean, I don't know what he talks about, you know?
I would definitely leave a message for the psychiatrist. That is not too intrusive. It's always good. The psychiatrist may not be able to talk to you, but it's always good to leave information. And then secondly, you'll be surprised. In my experience, I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm an internist, but I've dealt with a lot of schizophrenics over the years. They're insolent when you bring this up.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, hey, what do you mean?
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Hey, how dare you?
Okay, so
the king was busy.
My feeling is you know, first off, avoid being specific.
Are tiptoeing around. Mm-mm.
No. Well, what about this? No, here's what I'm saying. I show up at the computer. There's a bunch of your Kleenex balled up, and it's a mess.
Hey, the guy with the stool lined up, little stool balls. Well, I had to go in there and go, hey, cut this S out.
Yeah,
literally.
No, literally. Yeah, but here's the point. There's no mistaking that for, fudge mix. My point is you can give the guy the slight embarrassing benefit of the doubt by saying your Kleenex is spread out all over the thing. I don't know if you have allergies or what, but how about you go ahead and throw them in the garbage? Maybe that works.
Yeah, that's
if
fine.
That doesn't work, it's that's time fine. To, you know, you, come you, down
you,
on him.
No, you just are you're very literal. That's exactly right. You just go, hey, the Kleenex, that no good.
Yeah, you don't
that
have to say
trash.
Quit beating off
no,
on
no,
the
no,
computer.
No.
You can say your Kleenex is right. All, you know, make him, you know, think that maybe you think he's blowing his nose or something. Now, here's the thing. I was watching, 48 Hours or 2020, or I watch those news shows
Why?
All the time. I always watch those shows. Mm. They're ridiculous, but I watch them anyway. And they did that whole thing where every once in a while they go investigate a cruise ship. Cruise ships, there's always something good. It's fertile soil for those news magazine shows because there's always some illegal alien porter who's raping people or they're dumping garbage out into international waters. Something is going on.
Right.
Always something on a cruise ship.
Right.
A floating hotel, though, Drew.
Oh, nice.
They go in there with the Woods light, with the purple light.
Oh, boy.
They just find the, pentagram and jizz on the comforter. And it's
it's
a disaster. But they go do the whole thing. It's like, we found urine by the front door. They find semen everywhere. They find urine everywhere. But it's just, first off, it's not really hard-hitting, reporting. Because if you go through any place at any time, you're going to find. So I guarantee there's something on this microphone
right
now.
I swear to God, we should just document what goes on in the chimpanzee cage and see if the same story plays out in the cruise ship.
I don't know how I don't know how urine makes it onto the doorknob of the cabin in the cruise ship. But my point is they do this thing. We like to drive ourselves nuts as human beings where it's like, do you know what's in those hot dogs? We found out. Do you know what's on that comforter at the hotel? We found out. Look. You take an electron microscope to your bedspread, and you're going to see stuff on there that Dr. Seuss couldn't have dreamed
up. That's right.
That's inside your body. That's on your body.
That's right.
That's everywhere.
That's nature.
That's nature. It's called nature.
Yeah, it's
and
it's
everywhere.
A big restaurant. Yes.
Yeah, and you want to know where there's semen? Well,
everywhere.
First off, in your nutsack. It's in you. That's number one.
Yes.
I know we're totally freaked out about other people's crap, but you know that sort of thing where, someone else's urine is poison and mine's liquid gold?
Right.
How can yours be poison to them, then?
By the way, we're living with this just fine. We're in homeostasis with the semen world we live in.
Well, that's the whole thing. It's like they do this thing where it's like there's urine everywhere, there's fecal matter everywhere, there's semen everywhere, there's pubic hairs everywhere. Do you know what's in? Do you know what's in that hot dog? Do you know what happened to that?
I'm dead right now. I'm dying.
look, go to any fast food place. Go follow the travels of the cabbage when it left the field and the tortilla when it left the factory. You'd vomit all over yourself. Mm-hmm. Now, you can choose to just think about that, in which case you'll just go insane. Mm-hmm. Or you can just figure, look, this is the way it goes. I haven't gotten sick so far. Just going to keep moving.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, why is that? What is that impulse? My impulse is the opposite. I don't want to think about it.
Well, the impulse is that to create a headline out of where there is no headline. That's the impulse.
Yeah.
That's the constant impulse of news.
Yeah, there is something disgusting on every sheet in every hotel in this country and in every cabin of every cruise ship. Your bed, too.
Right. When it comes to behavior and biology and medicine, everything's a headline. You can make a headline out of anything.
Yeah. Yeah. No, the point is how many people are getting sick from staying at Holiday Inns?
Forget it.
Right.
You get lice, that's it.
Yeah, we get that.
And they don't make a deal about that.
And then there's the whole, the toilet seat at the airport.
Oh, please.
Does anyone get sick? You know anybody's gotten sick off that? Anybody? Nothing? No. See?
No.
All right. We'll take ourselves a little break. We'll be right back after this. Yeah, love line, I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. What's up? Where are we going?
Going to Tony.
Tony.
Yes.
25.
Yeah.
What can we do you for?
Okay. Well, I just heard the girl talking about how her boyfriend was paranoid schizophrenic.
Her brother.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, her brother. That's true. well, my boyfriend was diagnosed as a paranoid schizophrenic, and I'm pregnant now with his child, and I just don't know, how big of a chance the baby will have of developing that.
You know, there is a familial tendency with that, but it's not highly so. So it's not as though there's a high likelihood of that.
Okay, and what's the difference between that and schizoaffective?
Schizoaffective is schizoid features, meaning sort of flat affect, difficulty expressing emotion, identifying feelings in other people, and having significant mood disturbances, having difficulty socially and in jobs, just having difficulty sort of carrying on with other people. Schizophrenics is where they have frank thought disturbance, where they actually are disconnected from reality at times, delusions of various types. They hear voices. They believe that they're Jesus or they're another person. Mm. And they may see things, that sort of thing.
Yeah. My brother-in-law has that. And, the number one feature you can tell is, by the way, he wears his baseball hat.
Sideways?
Just mashed on. I don't know what it is with crazy. When you're crazy, you can't wear a hat.
Normally, just smashes it.
Yeah, I got in this argument with my wife last night about. I was like,
we
gotta get Dave a hat. He's like, what's wrong with this hat? It looks like somebody ran over it, and then the skipper, sort of put it on top of his head. Like when skipper used to take his Gilligan's hat off, smack him with it, and then mash it back onto his head.
Yeah.
First off, there's a couple things. All you a-holes out there who make those baseball hats that are super sleek and streamlined in the front and have sort of the cloth adjustable band in the back, stop it. Nobody wants that crappy hat. No, they're horrible. You know who wears those kind of hats? Well, Dr. Marcel wears those kind of hats. They're weird, creepy.
The not very deep ones.
Yeah, they
real shallow.
They don't have a front to them. They're not baseball hats. Yeah, yeah. They're sort of painter's
beanies.
Caps.
They're beanies kind of.
No, they're not. They're not beanies.
They're like yarmulkes almost.
They have a bill.
No, I know, but they're,
No, they look, here's what they are.
I know what you're talking about.
They're a cheap baseball hat.
Or they look like women wear stuff like that.
Yes. Chicks from the 80s would wear that and pull their ponytails through that.
Right, there you go.
They're a baseball hat, except for the back, instead of having the plastic snaps, has a weird cloth thing that never seems to work out, some sort of adjustable feature that's always unsatisfying.
It's a locking
clip. Snap it in. Yeah. And then the front, instead of coming up and having, the team, whatever, written on, it goes back like a fastback.
Right.
And it never fits right. It's not deep enough.
Right.
It sits on your head and doesn't seem to stretch because it's weird kind of clothy.
Right,
and it's just
kinda,
they suck.
Yeah.
They suck. Mm-hmm. And they give them every, they must be 20% cheaper because every time somebody does a golf tournament or does anything or has one for the company or whatever, they give those hats away.
Is that the one your brother loves wearing?
Yeah, he wears one of those, except for it's like it was run over by a truck. Oof. And then somebody smashed it onto his head. Yeesh. And my thing is the guy looks insane. If we get him a regular hat and pull it on his head a little and set it there nice.
Yeah.
And some people, you know, crazy people wear hats like old people wear hats.
Mm-hmm.
Old guys wear hats where it looks like someone just dropped it on their hair.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't actually make contact with their
forehead,
or scalp at all. It just sort of rests on their head.
Right.
It's like somebody put a cherry on top of the sundae.
Yes.
It's not actually on their head. It's on it, but resting. It's not around it.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a coaster for their hair. But I swear to I have a closet full of those horrible cloth, crappy, creepy, weird guy 80 hats. You know, it's just weird hats. First off, fat guys can't wear them.
Mm-mm.
If you got a big cabeza, you can't wear it.
Oh, no.
It's made for guys who are, you know, have a post like James Woods, and it doesn't stay on, and it's a disaster. I end up getting angry at the hat.
Mm-hmm.
Then you get a big pile of them, you got to throw them away. So here's the thing. Whoever's starting, if you got a company, if you got a golf tournament, if you got anything, you're giving away the hat. You want people to wear the hat. Yes, you save 25%, except for you defeated the purpose because the guy threw it in the trunk of his car and never put it on.
Right.
Baseball hat should just be a baseball hat.
Yes.
It should just be like, here's what a baseball hat is. It's the one the guys who play baseball wear.
Right.
Hence the name baseball hat. Not weird gay fisherman cap.
But the baseball caps, some of the crappy ones have that interlocking plastic thing with the little knobs that go through the holes.
Yeah.
They're a nice baseball cap that's actually stretch in the back.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, you can step it up to one of the form-fitting ones and everything, the professional ones. But even the step down for that, which is the plastic, nipples going through the hole there, that's fine, too. It's just that crappy, weird, cloth, gay 80s sailor retardo cap drives me nuts. You put it on, it doesn't come down far enough. It sort of bottoms out on the top of your head before you get it down your forehead far enough.
Mm-hmm.
Who wears those? Who likes those? Who decided we could keep making these? No one says anything.
I know.
They suck, those hats.
I think they are for women. I think that's the problem.
Well, stop giving them to me then.
Yeah.
Chris, do you know what I'm talking? Wake up. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Sure.
No, you don't.
Yes, no. Do you have any idea what I'm talking about?
Maybe like a trucker hat? Is that what you're talking about?
No.
No. I gotta. If I didn't know you, I would kill myself.
Huh?
I would just say, wow.
Trucker hat's exactly the exact opposite of what he's talking about.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Trucker hat is deep and tall.
I swear, Chris, if you represent just one person who's listening, I'm going to kill myself. I got to kill. True, remind me.
Kill yourself.
Mental note. Yeah. Kill me.
Maybe someone's heard of it. I don't know, but I haven't.
Okay. All right. You don't know the idea that there's different kinds of... Okay. How about the cap that has the cloth thing with the little hasp in the back? Not, you know what I'm saying? Adjust it?
It's a thing that slides through the linen.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of like a Cub Scout belt.
Okay.
Yeah? Mm-hmm.
No, he's not. Yeah.
No?
He's imagining what you're talking about, but he doesn't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
You're imagining.
You know what I'm talking about?
I'm kind of picturing it.
Kind of picturing it.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Triumph.
All right. Triumph. I'm back. Greg, I only did 20 minutes on it. I feel like if I would have done 25 or 30, he'd start getting a rough sketch.
You should blame yourself. Stop blaming him.
There's something I'm doing wrong. Greg?
Yeah.
You're 15?
Yes.
What's happening?
I was wondering if it was okay to have sex with the girl that is pregnant.
You're 15.
Yeah.
How old's the girl?
Like you to get started on this thing around 12 or 13, but you're a late bloomer anyway. Better late than never, right? Let's get going.
You're not actually planning this. You're just curious.
Yeah.
All right. Good. Yes.
Well, wait a minute. Why are you curious?
He's 15.
Because we were wondering... Like in a couple months or so.
Oh, you were with a pregnant girl?
Yes, I am.
And you got her pregnant?
No, I did not.
Oh, my.
Hmm.
Do you have sex with her currently?
No.
Have you ever had sex with her?
No, we fooled around a little bit.
And you found out she's pregnant?
I knew she was pregnant, but we want to know if it's okay to have sex. If
we'll see if Greg understood what kind of hat you're talking about.
Huh?
Chris, get ready. I'll tell you what. Hold on a second. Let me prime Chris.
Yeah, what's up?
I'm going to need you to take a highlighter pen, get out your Leatherman, go ahead and carve the cap into a point, and be prepared to fall on it if this guy knows. If Greg from Ohio, who's trying to mount up a pregnant teenager, and who sounds like he's not from this country.
Let's do it.
If he knows about this kind of hat I'm talking about, be prepared to fall.
Get ready.
On that highlighter pen.
This might be it.
Greg?
Yeah?
Do you know the difference between the baseball caps with the plastic snap adjustment in the back and the ones with the sort of hemmed cloth that threads through the...
A clip.
The clip.
And it's shallow.
And it's shallow, the cap.
Yeah.
No. Okay, good.
Yeah?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Do
you?
Kind of.
Hold on a second. One of the things I realize people have difficulty with as we grow older and dumber in this society is descriptions.
Yes.
And then nobody...
They don't listen.
Oh, well, maybe that's...
How can they take in a description when all they hear is... Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Oh, maybe that's what it is. Yeah. Okay. Because I'm picturing them, like when I'm describing something like this, I'm picturing him seeing in his mind's eye a toucan.
Yeah, Godzilla or something. Yeah.
Just Toucan Sam.
Yeah.
Like a day-glowed colored bird.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the thought bubble over his head for sure.
Right, right. All right, Greg.
Yeah.
Do you have a baseball cap?
Yeah.
What's the back of it look like?
It's just like a back of a baseball hat.
Okay, you got that, Adam? It's just like the back.
All right. How I see.
Toucan Sam.
What is your...
It's like Homer thinking,
too
right?
Toucan Sam.
Then the toucan starts, then he thinks Fruit Loops. Oh.
Don't! Greg, what... is this your girlfriend you want to have sex with?
She was talking about it. But she wants to know, will it hurt the baby if we do?
Yeah, Greg, don't...
Hey, Greg, I asked you a question. Is this your girlfriend?
Yes.
How long have you been dating her? How long have you been seeing her?
2 months.
Two months.
How'd you meet her?
Ends of meeting.
Church camp. Yeah.
Oh. Oof.
Church and camp, two horrible words that don't belong together.
And pregnancy? All three of those together?
Greg, church camp. All right.
Pregnant church camp.
And who's the guy who got her pregnant?
He left.
Now you have a clearer picture of who we're talking about.
Oh, yeah. I think I know this dude.
Yeah, he left.
I see. That's the guy.
I don't know his name.
His name would fill it out.
Yeah, because if you told me his name was Kurt, I'd know exactly who it was.
Yes.
So you want to say her old boyfriend, perhaps?
Huh?
Oh, jeez.
Our phone just cut off.
Completely cut off.
Okay.
You guys didn't hear that?
No. What did he say?
It was priceless. He said, it was good. You guys, you missed that, damn it.
Well, we missed it because our phone line dropped down. All right. Here's the thing.
Anderson got ahead of steam. How dare he say he not have ahead of steam? We like it, Anderson, by the way.
I don't know. I was on the road all day. I have no steam.
You're just in high gear. It's good.
Yeah. Don't make him self-conscious.
No.
I don't know what you're talking about, Drew. I played like two drops all night.
It's all good.
Yeah, he is. He's laid
good.
Back.
Huh?
He's laid back.
Seriously?
Why? He's been going drop crazy or anything.
No, not drop crazy, but he's energetic. He's on top of things.
Okay. I'm listening to the show. I'm
that's what I'm saying. Yeah, right.
Anderson, you know the kind of hats I'm talking about?
Yeah, the kinds that they give away for free all the time.
Yeah.
They've got that little, a lot of the time if they're of higher quality, they'll have a little metal clip at the back.
I always thought,
that's what I'm talking about.
That's
a piece of hemmed material.
But no, there's ones that are even worse where they have like scrunchy material that holds it together. It like bunches up. It's like elastic.
Well, those are the fancy ones. Those are the fitted.
No. There's like the hole too, the half circle hole.
Well,
you know what I'm talking about.
Half circle hole.
Yeah, like the half circle hole where the clip goes, where the elastic goes. No, never mind.
Okay.
Okay.
The half, but the half here's circle the deal. Hole. Come on.
But here's the deal. I actually believe those hats, the shallow ones, are more expensive.
They're not.
They're sort of fashion statements.
No, they're not.
They're always very nice material.
No.
Yes, they are.
They wouldn't give them out at every tournament and in every gift bag if they were more expensive.
You don't. They're not being given out at a cap day at Dodger Stadium.
No.
They're being given out when you're participating with Hollywood Squares.
Yeah.
They're trying to impress.
No. I know.
MSNBC gave me one. This is what they give their air staff.
Look, all I'm saying is I don't know. It's a gay or a chick. I don't know who picks those things out, but somebody. When are we going to stop the madness with those
caps?
No,
they're not meant for males, for men.
No.
But all right. I think they might be a little more expensive.
No more. Chris is getting depressed. Chris, you ever seen the hats that
Let's go to break.
They got the cloth behind it?
I guess, yeah.
I'll bring it in tomorrow night.
They're ubiquitous. They're everywhere, right?
Shh.
Okay.
It's good times.
Okay.
Good times, man.
All right. Let's take a break. Yeah. Let's take a break.
Yeah. Half circle. Right,
half circle.
What the hell is that?
I kind of know what he's talking about, the half circle hole,
too. I think
he
means where it slips through the...
In the back.
Yeah, we got you. Yeah. That's not what we're talking about, though.
No, but that's what connects it together.
All right.
I got to talk to you guys about The Simpsons when we come back.
All right.
Big news.
We'll be right back after this. Yeah, it's Loveline. Oh, my God, I'm that Dr. Drew. Chris, engineer Chris, so flustered by our cap talk during the break in my...
This is living proof that we could talk about anything.
My verbal attack on him. I was like, Chris, tell me you know that cap.
And he did. I said, again, with Dodger Stadium?
I do.
That's the elastic back cap.
Yes. No, it's not that hat. It's got a weird flat. It's flat. It's... The adjustment, all right, you know the ones that have the plastic snaps in the back?
Yes.
This doesn't have that. Okay. Instead of that plastic, it has cloth.
All right.
Now, it looks the same, except for remove the plastic and put the cloth there with a little...
A clip that flips open and locks down.
I know everyone.
Right. Oof.
Oh.
Whoa.
Anderson, did you get that?
I just dropped the F-bomb. I really think people are effing with me. I think this is all a part of an elaborate ruse to gaslight me and get me to kill myself. That's what you guys are trying to do.
Your nervous system is wired different than most.
No, man.
Right.
You're cool.
Just remember that.
All right.
Not everyone's brain works the way yours does. Therefore.
Okay.
Therefore, it's possible to get through life and not know what that hat is.
All I'm saying is
thank God I knew what it was.
I was yelling
ass from you tonight.
Well, Drew, here's the point. You pull that hat on, it bottoms out on the top of your forehead.
Yeah, I know. I hate them.
All right, stop making them. Everybody. Yes. All hat manufacturers, stop it.
Well, unless or make for women only hats.
Or
they really are.
Or dudes from the 80s. Go ahead, Mike.
Hello?
All right.
What's up, Mike?
No, can we talk about The Simpsons real quick?
Oh, okay. Anderson wants to talk about The Simpsons.
Mike sounded like a delight, but I was beside myself. With excitement when I was watching The Simpsons a couple of weeks, and apparently you guys never talked about it on air, when they did a caricature of Huell Hauser.
Oh, really?
No kidding.
And you didn't hear about it.
We didn't know about it. No.
He fell off the turnip truck, and because Bart had run out of people to fool in the town, and this guy who sounded just like Huell and acted like Huell, and he was very excited about everything, and Bart let him on some. I had a few drinks, so I can't remember exactly how it turned out, but it was great.
How dare you?
Thanks, Anderson. Yeah, Huell Hauser, for those who aren't from the L.A. area, or for Dr. Drew, who was born and bred here and had no idea who the guy who was on TV for 30 years was. Oh, sandwich in between the guy doesn't know anything about hats and the guy doesn't know anything about PBS, is one of the, supposed to be evidently a nice guy, but as slow a blowhard as you're going to find on television.
Boy.
There he is.
Yeah, and he does one of these.
This is wonderful.
He does one of these sort of, one on the town kind of thing, and he's on public television, so they can never fire him,
right.
And it's awesome. And he just goes to places where they make tortillas and chorizo and stuff like that, and he just stands there and bores the people. People actually are bored by their own product when he's done with them. So, what goes on here? Huell, this is the loading dock. This. Is the loading dock. Yeah. And what goes on here? It's where we load the tortillas. This is where it's really like you're talking to someone who's 100 yards away and 4 years old.
Right.
It's awesome. And then every third one, he goes and sees a lighthouse.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. But did a really cool show about a whole underground
railroad. In Los Angeles, right?
Crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
Talking of a subway that was in downtown L.A. Huge underground thing that's still there.
They were going to build a subway down there? Or they had a subway?
They had a subway down there, and they said like 2 million people used to go through this every week.
What?
Like nutty, crazy. Crazy cuckoo nutty.
In Los Angeles?
In Los Angeles. Downtown.
And
yeah.
What, is this too dangerous with earthquakes now, or what's the deal?
They, you know, once they stopped all the rail lines, all the tire manufacturers bought out all the rail lines and cemented over everything. L.A. is a weird town. Had a big rail system.
Grand.
Had everything going in the 30s and 40s and stuff, and then just got all shut down by the tire and oil companies.
Wow.
And they just started putting freeways in everywhere.
Wow.
Now we got a lot of smog and we're effed. All right, we'll take a quick break. Be right back after this. Yeah. Loveline, man. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Who won that iPod? Rosie Camacho.
Yeah, from Bakersfield.
She needs something to listen to in Bakersfield.
Mm-hmm. To raise her spirits.
Yeah. Yeah.
We should have thought of that when we were promoting this thing and said, this will raise your spirits for those of you who live in S-holes like Bakersfield. Yeah. Yeah, it's all right.
Yeah. Look, I know people get tired of us making fun of Bakersfield or Riverside or something like that. Feel free to move.
We're not making fun. We're just stating the facts.
Well, you don't want to confuse it with San Francisco.
No.
Or Seattle.
No.
It's Bakersfield there, buddy. Yeah. All right. Listen. I come from one of those places. I just moved.
Is it just me, or I have a sense that Seattle doesn't get its proper props nationally. I mean, down here in L.A., we all look at like, oh, it's great. We'd love to live up there. But, you know, it's not on everyone's radar screen across the country the way it should be. It's such an amazing town.
Yeah, I'm hip.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I think if you're from the East Coast, you talk about the Hamptons and places like that.
I'm not even sure they could really distinguish between Portland and Seattle.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's possible. Although, the sort of movies like Sleepless, there was a sort of push.
There was a time there, yeah.
They had these movies that were coming out in the late 80s and early 90s that had a lot of Seattle stuff, a lot of grunge stuff, a lot of, you know, all that Nirvana stuff and everything. So I had a push about 10, 12 years ago, but it's sort of calmed down.
No, it's just not on the radar screen the way it should be. Portland, too, by the way, doesn't get the props it should.
Dan?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
You're 22?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
First, I just want to say I'm from New York, and Seattle's incredible, really. It doesn't even compare to here, and definitely people on the East Coast know about it.
I mean, the Cascades are just amazing, amazing territory.
It's great.
Yeah, I agree, and, you know, I definitely think it's a part, I mean, Oregon, that whole coastline is incredible.
Yeah, you got the Cascades come right up to the coast. It's just, oh, my God, Rainier out in the distance.
It's happening, Dan.
Well, I've been considering getting a vasectomy done. But I'm a pretty
22.
Young guy still, and yeah. I'm just wondering if there's a minimum age doctors usually go with for that. Or
what do you got going on? You know, relationship?
I am, but I mean, that's kind of a lame answer. I mean, being in a relationship at 22, who knows what's going to happen with it?
Right, thank you.
Yeah, I listen to you guys enough.
All right. Well, here's the thing. Doctors don't want to do it unless you had 3 or 4 kids at that age.
Well,
probably.
Yeah. We had an engineer that worked in the show for a while that had it done when he was about mid-20s, wasn't he?
Mike,
yeah.
Yeah.
And so it's possible to get it done. You're gonna have a hard time finding a surgeon to do so. I would, there's so many other things you can do. I would try to persuade you otherwise.
Yeah, I don't understand why you would want to undergo that procedure if, I don't know, just
I wanted to ask Drew, putting it on ice, I mean, does it have like an indefinite shelf life with that?
You know, I don't know. You mean in terms of storing your sperm?
Yeah.
I don't know. I believe it's quite long that you can hold it, but it's not perfect. It's not as though you can necessarily rely on that for fertile sperm.
Yeah. Hmm. Plus, then
I mean, it's good, but it's not as reliable. I don't know what the data.
You don't
is
make
on
your
that.
Payments. They take it right out to the incinerator.
There you go.
Yeah, it's tougher on them, right?
Oh, Adam,
rough detail,
I started peeing in the sink last month.
Nice.
I can't
nice.
Stop. It's great. It changed my life, really.
It is.
Changed your life.
It's addicting.
Are you in Manhattan?
No, I'm out on Long Island going to school.
It really, I hate to say it. Everyone's disgusted by it. I whiz in the sink. And once you get started on it, it's really hard.
Hasn't your wife really just had an assful of that?
She can't stand it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I bring home the bacon. She fries it up in the pan, and I whiz in the sink.
I remember a couple years ago when you had the temerity to point out to her that you bring home the bacon, and she brings home the bacos.
Well, my wife was like, I work, too. It's like, yeah, but you don't make any money. Well, I work just as... I said, listen, I bring home the bacon, you bring home the bacos.
Gosh.
Now, you go get in the kitchen and make an B, I'm going to whiz in the sink.
Oh, my God.
I'm telling you, you know why I do it?
Why you do it? Why?
I was going to say something. I'm a weird guy. I'm weird.
All right, that's what it boils down to.
That's what it boils down to. No, Dan, first off, liberating. Secondly, think how much water you save.
Ooh, good call. Yeah,
yeah, save a lot of water. Secondly, ever since Drew told me that urine was sterile, it's been game on. Game on. Now, secondly, it doesn't splatter everywhere. You know, whizzing in the toilet's a mess. You get all over the side of the thing. Makes a hell of a racket, too. You don't realize how much noise taking a leak makes until you do it about 4:30 in the morning.
Yeah, yeah.
Old lady's asleep. You head into the bathroom.
You're dropping marbles into the toilet.
Yeah, really. It's really acoustically. Air's an invention.
Uh-oh.
Acoustic toilet. Just cuts down on sound 50%.
Yeah. And splash. If we could do splash and sound.
Splash would be nice, but just that sound of whether it's that or whether you're firmly planted for a number two, that crazy, echoey. Or no worse, ironically, acoustically, no worse room in the house to break wind in than the bathroom.
with tile
everywhere. You just can't do worse than ceramic glazed tile and chrome bath fixtures.
Yes.
You know, I mean, the whole place it's like breaking wind in a bass drum.
But hang on a second. Let's think this through for a second. What's the logic of the male having to stand 4 feet over a bowl of water and pee into it and expect that it's going to stay there?
No.
It's got to go. It's got to splash. I mean, it's gravity.
Yeah, okay, let's.
What are you
going
to do here?
Yeah,
Why aren't we creating things like sinks for men?
Ta-ha! Well, here's the thing: if you instead of
instead
of it coming out of your penis, let's just say your task was 4 or 5 times a day, we give you a sports squirt bottle.
And you from waist height.
You got to hold it waist height, and sometimes, groggy, fell asleep drunk. It's now 4:30 in the morning.
And with a good force, off. You got to squeeze
good,
it fully.
Good force and a little mandate, like it's time to go.
Yeah.
And then God knows what's left over in the neck of the thing.
Yes.
You have to
push that out.
Little
at
the semen
end.
From the night before, right. Little crusties.
And,
my case, fecal matter.
And some of those sports bottles have a whoopee quality to them, a whoopee attachment, where it'll split and go off in every direction.
All right. Now, your job is to stand over the toilet, make sure every drop gets in there, nothing splatters up onto the bowl or around the thing.
What are we thinking?
It's not going to work.
Why hasn't this evolved?
I'm saying
every man in the world is dealing with this, and no one's gone, hey, let's raise this up 3 feet.
And it has a novelty sound with it. It's like you can tell clearly what's going on.
And then waking your wife, your wife's mad at you. Woke her up, and there's pee everywhere.
You can hear when you miss, and if there's not just sort of direct urine everywhere, there's at least a sort of spray of urine, urine.
That's if you don't miss.
It's that's
still
best
going
case
everywhere.
Scenario. Yes. That's right.
That is ridiculous.
Yeah,
nobody's given any thought to that?
Well, there's
that's got to change before the hats change.
There's a urinal. Urinals are nice.
Urinals
are satisfying. Mm-hmm. Look, here's the thing with houses. They could put a urinal in the bathroom. It ain't no thing. And I have. And it works. And the other thing is, go ahead and take a cue from the public facilities. Put a urinal in there. It's nice. And then you don't get the old lady complaining, aha, the seat is always down.
Seat's always down.
You only use it
for
number two.
You're not spraying, and she's not listening to it splash in the middle of the night.
It's an interesting fact or an interesting point, which is you'll never get that seat argument up or down ever again if you put a urinal in, because always number one in the urinal, number two in the commode.
Absolutely. And let's take this one step further.
Yes.
a way to really accomplish the same thing, save water, mm-hmm. and not have to add anything to the construction, go in the sink.
Drew, thank you.
There you go.
I feel like it's my birthday.
Vindication.
That'd be a good name. What's your name? Vindication? Ah, is that Italian? Vindication? Yeah. That's nice. All right. Thank you, Drew. Thank you. I got to remember to move my toothbrush once in a while.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Of course.
Katie?
We should have pee attachments.
Yes.
Really, there should be like little landing, you know, sort of things guide you in and keep in place.
Yeah. It's like when the planes refuel in flight.
Right.
Katie?
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling. What's up? You're 18.
I just wanted to ask Dr. Drew if you can get pregnant from pre-semen.
Yes.
You could?
Yes. So that's why when somebody wants to put his penis in you, you say no, because just even putting it inside can cause a pregnancy.
Yeah. I say put it in the sink, not
obviously,
a woman.
Yes. That's a new campaign, in matter
thank
of
you.
Fact. And not that it's as likely necessarily as if he actually ejaculates, but it's still a possibility. And some men produce pre-cum with lots of sperm, and some not so much, and some don't produce any pre-cum, but you can't tell what you got going. So if you have any intercourse that's unprotected, meaning no condom, you get the morning after pill.
Oh, because I haven't gotten my period since, like, January, so mm-hmm. kind of worried. Mm-hmm.
How about
getting a pregnancy test?
Yeah, I was, because I, like, my periods are irregular, like, sometimes I won't get them for, like, a month, and then,
I know,
like,
and you may just right. be, yeah, and you, are you overweight?
No. I kind of been putting on a little bit of weight, though.
Do you have cystic ovaries, polycystic
no,
ovarian
I don't.
Disease?
Right. Not that I know of.
Yeah.
Hmm. Hmm.
Good times.
Yeah.
It's probably, you get a pregnancy test, see the doctor, it's probably just the usual irregular periods that you have.
Yeah. I was just, I don't know why, but I was thinking about public service announcements.
Mm.
You know, the horrible ones we play on this godforsaken show.
Yes, I do.
But I was thinking of the one, you know, the one I hate is the airplane safety one.
Yes.
I hate all that. But then I started thinking about the, I have that stupid Smokey the Bear song in my head. Smokey says only you.
Oof.
And I thought, how many thousands and thousands of times we heard something about campfires? And then I thought, who's camping? Who's starting a fire in the woods?
I know.
What's going on?
Is that most people do that?
80% of the listeners will be camping this weekend. Yeah, sure.
Not just camping, but
starting fires.
Campfires.
Yeah. And I thought to myself, is it some sort of prerequisite for the public service stuff that it has to be this inane crap that doesn't seem to affect anybody?
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? Yeah. They got the one, like the one about renting apartments, where Juan Hernandez tries to rent it, and then Kizzy of My Ass tries to rent one, and then the white guy tries to rent one. And they rent it to him.
Right.
Yeah, I like that one too because it just gets everyone angry. Yeah.
And then I get angry at this Smokey the Bear thing when they make a huge deal out of wherever did you come up with Smokey the Bear?
Yeah.
It's Smokey Bear. I just think of one response to that. Felix the cat.
That's right.
That's it.
Wonderful, wonderful cat.
It's possible for an animal to be called something the something.
Yeah. Ask Chris if he knows who Felix the cat is.
Felix the cat, Chris?
Oh, definitely.
Really?
Can you sing the song?
Yeah.
No, but I've seen the cartoon.
Okay.
No.
You have?
Yeah, I have.
Name one other character in it.
I can't.
Okay. What?
But it was an old one.
Yeah,
it's an old one. Cartoon.
Yeah. Okay.
We'll sing it for you.
Felix the cat, the wonderful, wonderful cat. Whenever he gets in a fix, he reaches into his bag of tricks. Felix the cat, the wonderful, wonderful cat. You'll laugh so hard your sides will ache. Your heart will go pitter pat. Watching Felix the wonderful cat.
Rock, nice. Rock bottom.
Rock bottom.
Professor.
The master cylinder.
Master cylinder. What was the octopus and guy then, with the
Kokor. The inexplicable Kokor.
With the star on his chest.
I don't remember the octopus.
And Poindexter.
Yeah. Natalie?
Yes?
What's happening? 21.
Okay. So I used to smoke a lot of weed. Mm-hmm. And I actually quit in August. Mm-hmm. And... I just noticed that I'm having a lot of trouble concentrating on school. Like, I got better grades when I was smoking weed than now.
Well, it's very common for there to be significant depressions for about 6 months after you stop smoking pot.
Oh, really?
And absolutely. Mm-hmm. And if you and withdrawal symptoms and sleep disturbances, and it really goes for quite a while. It's a rather profound withdrawal. You're not taking anything else or doing anything else to compensate for that?
No, not at all. I mean, I quit because I am pre-med, so... Yeah. And I'm an IV technician, so I get randoms and stuff like that. And okay.
All right. And now, are you going to a program? You in recovery of any type?
Oh God, no, no. I just quit.
Well, it's going to resurface again. That's the in the nature.
Why didn't do it that long?
How long did you do it for?
Since I was about a senior in high school.
So 4 years of heavy pot.
Heavy pot.
She said a lot of pot.
Not a lot. I guess like. Once, twice a day.
Yeah, that's a lot of pot.
That's fine.
It will resurface. This is going to come back. This is a chronic condition. It's a recurrent condition. The substance use, it may not be with pot, but it's going to be with something. So you are going to need to, it's very unusual that this would stay remitted spontaneously like this.
Well, I mean, I just made it, it wasn't so much that, I don't think it'll resurface because I have a lot of just like issues with it because...
Natalie, I'm not saying it's necessarily going to be the pot, but in some substance, your drive systems have been conditioned to this, and they're going to direct you inadvertently. Is there alcoholism in your family?
No. I mean, I don't drink a lot, and I smoke cigarettes.
What's your ethnic background?
Pardon?
Where are your ancestors from?
I'm Caucasian.
Where are your ancestors from?
Caucasia. Come on, Drew. Start listening.
From, like...
Ireland. Okay. So that's the gene.
You know, it's funny. True.
No, she did not say Iowa.
I think she was going to say Ireland.
Yeah, I think she's going to say Iowa.
I say Iowa. Okay. Where's she at? Okay. Where are your ancestors from, Natalie?
Ireland and Italy.
All right. Okay. Thank you.
So look in the Irish side of the family. You think you'll see some alcohols in there.
You know, it's funny. Drew used to say. What's your nationality?
I know, I stopped saying
that. And they would say Caucasian.
Yeah.
So Drew decided to modify it and say, where are your ancestors from? And they would now say, I'm Caucasian, which didn't really answer the question. Right. But still, it's your fault for actually trying to get something out of somebody who calls the show.
But Natalie, you put a little twist on it, which is when you say where your ancestors from, they'll say, like, South Dakota.
Yeah. All right. Caucasian.
Anyway, Natalie, you're going to have to take my word for this. It may not be relevant to you now, but let these words be heard sometime in your lifespan. It's a chronic, recurrent condition that will surface again. You're going to need some management of that.
She's having trouble concentrating. Brandon?
Yes.
25?
Yes.
What's up?
Well, I have a little story with my girlfriend. We broke up in June of 2004. And I kind of went crazy a little bit. We were together for about 3 years then. And then we all of a sudden stopped dating. And I went crazy sexually, you know. I slept with about, you know, 5 or 6 girls over the course of the summertime. And then I moved to L.A. And I got out here and I was thinking that, you know, I don't really want to spend the rest of my life by myself. I love my girlfriend now, and...
I agree.
All right.
I decided to, you know, ask her to move out here, and she agreed, and when I went home for Christmas, she came back with me, and...
Where's home?
Blowhardville?
Where's home?
Home is the Gulf Coast, Southern Alabama.
All right. So then you told her about these girls you slept with, and she got angry.
Sure, yes.
Okay. Well, how old is she?
She's 28.
Mm-mm.
Have you guys rekindled the relationship or not?
Rekindled meaning, like, we...
Are you an item again, or because
oh, yes,
she...
Yes, yes.
Yeah. And who broke up with whom?
She broke up with me.
Why? She broke up with you.
Why?
He was banging one of her friends. Yeah.
No,
why?
No. I remained faithful to her while we were always together, and she accused me of being unfaithful while we were faithful. while we were faithfully together with each other. And I just, you know, I said, listen, if you really believe that, you know, I've been cheating on you.
Did her dad cheat?
Her, she's adopted. So there may be some, you know, deep-seated emotional problems with,
all right,
you know, attachments and stuff.
Brandon.
Yeah, right.
It's done. Forget it. Yeah. It's over. Don't bother with it.
It seems like, well, I don't know. It's just, it's struggling with a lot here. And it
ain't
like
going to work.
It seems like she's decided it's not going to work and is going to make it a self-fulfilling prophecy in some fashion.
Relationship shouldn't be like pushing a rock up a hill.
Okay.
And that's what this is. And she's 28. She should be over this by now.
Mm-hmm.
She's not. She broke up with you. Maybe there was a little payback element with you making sure she found out about all your conquests after you've broken up. That's your business. I don't think you two are very good together, and she is adopted, which means there's issues.
How old was she when she was adopted?
4 years old.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there you go.
That's mega.
Yeah.
That's mega. Here's the whole thing. I'm trying to think. Adopted at birth, better, obviously, emotionally, than at 2, than at 3, than at 4 is horrible. Eventually, it's probably better, you know, then it starts, there's some sort of bell curve where it starts going down the other side where you get adopted. Look, at 13, I would have loved to have been adopted.
Right.
Yeah. Nice work. Point is being adopted at 4 is, that's some serious ass right there.
Yeah.
You just, do you know why? Do you know the circumstances?
Her parents were deadbeats, and so she was adopted by a distant relative.
All right.
Deadbeats meaning complete drug addicts?
It's alcoholic, drug addicts.
Yeah, probably alcoholic, drug addicts, neglecting. I mean, you know, she had other siblings, but they were scattered as well.
All right. Let me tell you something, Brandon. This is a full-time gig, dating someone
You're whitewashing that story, too. It's like, they deadbeat. No, these are drug addicts, and who knows what went on in that house when she was under 4.
Right.
Okay, Brandon, forget it. You broke up once. There was a reason. She's 28. She's not going to let you go on what she did. And look, she's a troublemaker in a relationship. I'm sorry. It's because of her troubled past. But look, everybody, I know you want to live in this sort of fantasy where people just understand what they do and then stop doing it, not without years and years of therapy. Mm-hmm. And even then, it's a slow death to put these kinds of things in your rearview mirror.
Mm-hmm.
What happened to her was abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get adopted at 4, it's not because your folks didn't pay a few bills.
Right.
It's because there's wholesale
abuse. Or because you're running around unsupervised in the backyard.
Yeah, no, this is crazy drug addict. God knows what kind of abuse went on. And even if there was zero abuse, it's talk about trauma.
Yeah.
Taking a 4-year-old, taken away from mom. And what kind of mom lets her 4-year-old
go
to Aunt Sally's house and get raised for the rest of her life? This is a disaster. Brandon's not equipped to deal with it at 25. And that's it.
Good
Move
times.
On.
Yep.
And look, everybody, just go find someone who's not a project. You can handle these projects. Doing this is like, okay, here's what I'm saying. Everything's a pet analogy. It's either pets or cars for
me. Okay, good.
Here's the thing. As a 25-year-old guy, you can have a dog, but you can't have a Bengal tiger.
Right.
A, it'll maul you.
Right.
B, it eats zebra meat. You don't have the money.
C.
You don't have the axe.
Yeah, C, not good for the tiger.
Not good for the tiger, but you just don't have the resources to deal with it.
What the tiger needs, right.
Right, and
it's got to be Siegfried and Roy.
It'll eat you.
Yeah.
It'll F you up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you can handle a nice lab, but leave the Bengal tiger to Siegfried and Roy and Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
And then weirdo guys used to play Tarzan in movies in Mexico.
Did you see that one that got loose here locally?
Yes.
In California? What?
I don't know. I don't know how that works. All I know is, they had to shoot it.
I know, which is bizarre also.
Yeah, I don't know how that... I don't know how you
have to. Yeah, well, you have to? Why?
I don't know. I don't know when you have... I always feel like when you have to shoot an animal, you just kind of want to. And so you make it.
Right.
You make it that way. But I don't know whose tiger it was.
Nobody knew, apparently. How can you not know whose tiger's loose in Los Angeles?
I don't know. But, you know, the crazier thing is the guys who ride the ostriches. How's that ostrich hold you up?
I know.
I figure sitting on an ostrich would be like sitting on one of those pink flamingos on your front lawn.
Yeah.
One of those plastic ones.
Collapse.
Trees just fall right over. Yeah. The stick would break. Right. And just go down in a heap.
Right.
The guys race ostriches.
How's that work?
I don't know how that works. First off, I don't know there's a bird that you can climb on. Think about that. You're saddling up. Yeah, climb on the bird. Yeah, saddle up. Here we go. We're going to race.
Just think for a second just about the fact that that's a bird.
Think about the fact that you're climbing on a bird, and then the bird is running 25 miles an hour while you're on its back.
And then look at those dinosaurs with the long necks now. Look at that bird. Similarity?
Yeah. I'm just saying. You see a horse, and you go, all right, there you go. You see a donkey, and you go, all right, mm-hmm, there you go. Mm-hmm. You see an ostrich, like, look, he's either going to be riding me or pecking me to death. I'm not going to be riding him. That's not an option.
Right.
Okay. Let's take a break.
Yeah.
We'll be right back after this. Yeah, Loveline. That's what I'm talking about. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191er.
Chris, you seen these hats with a piece of cloth locking through?
Yes.
Yeah, they're shallow. Okay.
Oh,
yeah. Not huh? Cloth in the back, but the piece of cloth, the band of cloth to adjust it.
It's a band of cloth that's yes, sort of seamed. It's got, like, sewn over.
Okay. It adjusts it.
It's coming together now.
Is it?
Yes.
All right. All right. Let's talk to Mark, who's 14. Mark?
Yeah.
What's up?
Hey, I saw, first of all, thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling, Mark.
Yeah, and here's something that I heard. You know how you said earlier about peeing in the sink, and you said you keep your toothbrush away?
Try to keep my toothbrush out of there, yeah.
Yeah, I heard that, like, back in ancient Egyptian days, they used urine for mouthwash.
That's right. Interesting. Yeah. Makes sense.
And anyway, back to my question. I started Crank Anchor's Love Line. That was pretty good. And thanks. I was wondering if you guys are going to do it again.
I'm going to guess no, because I don't think we're doing any more Crank Anchors.
Oh, man.
That may be the end of Crank Anchors. I don't know if we got the official word or not. I'm a little out of the loop, you know.
It's just you guys too busy or they don't want anymore?
I think it's basically
time for change.
Well, if I can and you know me, I don't know anything.
Yeah.
Here's my take on Crank Anchors.
Mm.
It's an expensive show that gets decent ratings, but not great ratings, and has a nice core following, and people dig the show. It's a nice boutique type show to have on your network, but it's not cheap and it doesn't get great ratings. It's not one of these things
and
where
they can
it's
replay
like,
it forever too, probably.
You're gonna make a ton of money on. So I don't think we're doing more Crank Anchors.
Okay.
But my feeling, as was my feeling with the Man Show, even Loveline, the TV show, although not quite, is you do 100 or something and you come out with a box set and you move on to your next project.
Yeah.
I think it's weird. Not weird. I mean, it's a nice way to make a nice living. But creatively, it's fun just to keep moving, mm-hmm, inventing, and doing other projects. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to get cut off in the knees. You don't want to do 13 and have them pull the plug.
Right.
Maybe do 75 or 100. Seems like come out with a box set, and you move on to your next thing. Yeah?
Fair enough.
All right. I wonder how many we've done. Stephanie?
Hello?
You're 18?
Yes.
What's up?
Oh my gosh. Okay. My boyfriend, Brian, called in last night and proposed.
I remember that.
Yeah, and I just wanted to say yes.
Oh, well, you're calling in to say yes.
Yeah, I already told him yes, but, you know, just wanted
That's
to say
awesome.
Here.
What
really? You'll get married at 18?
No, I'm not getting married now.
No, they get married at 19.
All right.
What what do you do, Stephanie?
Well, I'm going to go to college first. I'm not exactly sure what I want to do yet, but I'm probably going to go into psychology and something around
junior
that.
Junior college?
What kind of college are you going into?
I'm going to start off with junior college. And I'm just going to start off with that.
Oh, yeah. Everyone's just going to start off. It's just like, look, everyone's like, I just want to, do a little heroin on the weekend.
Just start off a little.
Just check it
just
out.
Just smoking it.
Yeah, just
out.
In social situations and parties. I would never do it alone.
No, I would never shoot it.
I would never
no
shoot it.
Way.
Smoke it, maybe do a little bump, maybe a little rail, but I would never, ever shoot heroin. And then 3 years later, the guy's basically in a dumpster turning tricks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
That's Stephanie. Look, everyone who enters junior college is doing it for, it's temporary.
Declares.
Yeah. They're going to transfer. Don't worry. Don't bother. You got to get a job, Stephanie. You're getting married now.
Well, yeah, I'm not going to get married right away, but...
Wait, you're going to get married in a year, though, right?
Yeah. Well, no, not even a year. I'm not even sure when, you know, when it feels right, yeah, but I'm too young now.
Why? All right. Why the proposal? Why is that necessary? The declaration.
I guess it's just something that came up. We've been together for a while, you know.
All right. Well, look, you're in love with Brian, right?
Ryan.
Yeah. That's what I meant. You're in love with Ryan, right?
Yeah.
All right. Good.
Good times.
Tell us, call us and tell us where you're registered.
Well, I kind of have another question.
Oh, okay. You should be able to register at, like, the Snack Shack at the junior college.
Sure.
I put me down for granola.
The bookstore.
Yeah, I'm going to get you a granola bar and a peachy folder.
And do you need help with your calculus textbooks? We can put in for that.
Yeah, I don't think they have calculus at junior college.
Oh, that's right.
They have math and junior college
math.
Right. Go ahead, Stephanie.
Okay. Well, my brother just had a kid with his wife around last November, and she, I don't know, she's seeking therapy for whatever. When she was 15, she got raped. I would hardly consider it rape, but she did, and she's taking Ritalin now. And when she got pregnant...
Hold on a second. I'm interested in that little side comment, whether you don't consider what happened to your brother's wife as rape, even though she calls it rape. It's interesting that you would say that. Why do you say that?
Because when she explained the situation to me, she pretty much just told me that what had happened is that she had somewhat of a boyfriend, and she invited him over to her house, and he was 1 year older. I think he was 15 or 16, I'm not sure. And they started fooling around, and she said that without her consent, they had sex. But, you know, who calls it rape?
She didn't actually sign papers.
Are you angry at her at all?
I am kind of angry because the doctor told her to stay off Ritalin when she was pregnant, and she did for like 3 months, and then she continued to take it.
That's drug addicts. That's a drug addict move.
Yeah.
Oh, it is.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah, if the doctor says stop and you don't stop and you endanger somebody else, that's a consequence.
Ritalin's basically speed.
Yeah. That's drug addict.
Yeah. Stephanie, where's your brother live? Riverside as well?
No, he lives in New York.
No, he lives in New York.
Let's add the score up. She was so-called raped, which was some sort of sexual assault at 15, which means high probability of sexual assault earlier as a child. She's prone to addiction to the extreme point of using stimulants during pregnancy.
Well, that's really good. What's your brother do for a living?
He's in the military.
Dude. All right. What's he doing in New York?
He's stationed there, like...
Oh, but he's from Riverside?
Yeah.
And he met her in Riverside?
She's from Costa Mesa, I think. Yeah, like somewhere in Orange County, but I'm not sure exactly where they met.
All right. Well, I don't know what you're going to do about this.
Well, I just want to know if that could have any kind of effects on, you know, the child.
Sure, that's why they told her to stop.
But how bad, Drew?
Well, if
what would you rather your wife do when she's pregnant, drink or Ritalin?
Probably drink.
Oh, really?
Mild drinking, yeah.
Mild drinking.
Moderate drinking, and we're getting back in the same.
More than 2 glasses of wine a night kind of thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be a problem.
Yeah, well, here's how you know drinking's not a problem. Everyone did it for 2,000 years, and then somebody decided 30 years ago it was killing everybody.
Right.
I don't know any, you know, everyone's mom smoke and drank, and now your kids basically going to come out as... It's going to be like spit out some tomato soup. That's what the kid's going to look like. It's going to look like a rag soaked in tomato soup.
Nice.
If you smoke and drink. Yeah. You got to ask yourself with all the stuff, like, all this stuff's a first-rate killer.
It creates neurocognitive changes, brain changes. The kids.
Except for everyone did it in the 50s and 60s.
Take a look around right now. Yeah.
Okay. No, the... He's looking at Chris, but he's looking something up for me. Those people are 40 and 50 years old, and a lot of them are doing okay.
Yeah,
well, I think we're worse now since we told people to quit drinking.
In a way.
Well, let's put it this way. You want to match the people whose moms are pregnant with them in the 50s versus ones who are pregnant in the 90s and 2000s? You know what I'm saying?
In terms of alcohol?
No. I'm saying one of them didn't drink and didn't smoke, and we got a whole batch of tards.
Right, right, right.
The other ones drank and smoked like chimneys, and they seem to doing. The kids seem to be doing okay.
Yeah,
that's all I'm saying.
All right.
All right, let's do a public service campaign getting people to smoke and drink again.
There you go.
I don't know what Stephanie's going to do with her white trash brother and her stupid wife.
Well, nothing he can do. She can do.
All right. You can get the hell out of Riverside. Stop dreaming about transferring from junior college. And by the way, junior college in Riverside is... that is...
Quicksand.
Well, yeah. It's the butt... It's basically the punchline of a joke when you put a curse on somebody. You leave me, you'll be attending junior college in Riverside.
Right. No.
Yeah, it's what your agent yells at you when you're walking out of his office telling him to F himself. It really just sounds like the punchline to some horrible joke or curse.
Yes, something that Larry Tate would say.
Yeah. Let's not go to junior college, everybody. Here's the reason. You're not college material. Fine. Get a job. Be realistic. I'm going to get married at 19. I'm going to go to junior college. What else? What are you guys going to do? Settle in the Keebler tree? Any other retarded fantasies you want to fulfill? Yeah. Let's all just close our eyes and picture how getting married at 19 and going to junior college at Riverside is going to turn out. Yeah. Perfect. Okay. Don't get married for a long time. Get a job, fight to keep it. Yes, Drew?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's take a break. We'll be right back after this. Yeah. Love line, madam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number. I freaked about that phone number. Let's keep on keeping on, Drew.
Let's do.
Eileen?
Yeah.
19?
Yeah.
What's going on?
I'm just wondering, like... I've had, like, a few relationships, and it always ended up, like, in the beginning, I would kind of find things to break it off and, like, find a reason, like, not to be with them anymore. Mm-hmm. And then it would kind of go back and forth for a while, and then, like, after, like, everything, like, was settled, like, later on, like, I was always the one getting hurt. And I was wondering if, like, the reason why I do that has to do anything with, like, past events, like, from my family.
What happened?
Like, well, when I was in high school, like, my father passed away through, like, from suicide, so...
Ooh, was he alcoholic?
No, like, he drank sometimes, but he wasn't, like, it really never affected, like, he never brought it into the family or anything like that.
Did he have a long history of depression?
I'm not sure. I think it was just, like, things with his business. Like, before, like, he had a business and he got hurt through it. Like, somebody stabbed him. And then...
Stabbed him? Physically stabbed him? Or...
Yeah, he had his spleen.
Hold on a second. Something with the spleen. But it's weird, like, he got hurt, you know, through his business. And think, all right, this guy made some bad investments or he got sued by employers. Or something. He got stabbed.
Yeah.
Through his... It's weird that you use business.
It's
Wow. Hey, sure. He owned a store?
Yeah.
Like a liquor store?
Kind of like that, yeah.
Somebody stabbed him?
Yeah, like they were trying to take something, and then it was kind of in a bad area, and he, like, went after them, and then they just kind of, like, and that's when it happened. I don't really know that. I was younger when that happened, but...
Right.
And then
like
he started...
Pearl Harbor. I don't know anything about
and
that.
And I think it gave him a little, like more problems to it, and... So I'm not really sure the reason why. Like,
all right. Well, you were like in the 10th grade when he killed himself?
Yeah, around there.
Yeah. And well, that's devastating.
It's devastating, but that usually doesn't wire you up in a way as to create abandonment in your relationships. It can, but it doesn't usually.
Okay. I mean,
It may be that just that loss you still haven't dealt with. And you're still afraid of closeness, and so you sort of sabotage relationships. That's possible.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I mean, yeah, like, I'm not a bad kid, you know. I don't do drugs. I don't go out and party all the time, you know. I'm actually attending a really good school right now, and, like, I don't know. It's just, like...
Right now? That makes me nervous. What school are you going to?
UCLA. Oh, all
right. That's good. Are you Asian?
Yeah.
All right. Well, that explains UCLA.
And the liquor store.
And the liquor store. Yeah, and maybe the suicide. All right, so maybe you're up in your head too much, Eileen.
Well, it's go ahead and try to have a good relationship, and part of it's being 19 to 20. There's lots of drama and maltreatment of 19 to 20 year olds of one another.
Yeah.
And so maybe you're sabotaging things because you don't want to get close. Maybe that's adaptive. Maybe you're being attracted to guys that are sort of abandoning as a way of sort of keeping things apart. Find a guy that's not quite so exciting. Try to hang in with the relationship and see if you can kind of deal with this.
The thing was like this.
I don't mean to sound racist in any way, but are you sure your name isn't Irene, and your folks just were mispronouncing it this whole time?
That does not sound racist.
Well, I'm just saying, you know what I mean? Irene could easily become Eileen with a little accent, you know?
Yeah.
Okay.
No.
Okay, I'm just saying.
You
know why?
You're excused for just saying it.
Saying, I'm looking out.
Right.
That's you just want to check your birth certificate.
So, Eileen, what are you saying?
I think it's Irene.
Irene.
I'm pretty sure it's Eileen, but... Yeah, like this, but the last guy I was with, he's one of the best guys, like, I've ever found. Like, he's not, like, a total jackass, you know, like, he's not one of those guys who just go around.
Yeah, but you sabotaged it, right?
In the beginning, like, I found things that I just, I don't know.
All right.
Go ahead and stop, Eileen.
You can stop. Here's a couple things. You're smart. But you're female and you're 19 and you've been through a little trauma.
Yeah.
And so you're going to make mistakes.
Yes.
But you're smart enough to overcome these things.
Yes,
Don't get all up in your head and be so hard on yourself.
Yes.
You're doing what every 19-year-old girl does.
Right. And some of it's adaptive, so you don't get involved with somebody while you're going to school and, you know.
Right. You hook up.
So you don't
get
joined
at the
hip.
It's fantastic. So listen.
Relax.
Stop beating yourself up. You're fine.
And to calm down. Maybe another boyfriend, but gently, slowly. Don't.
Yeah, it'll work its way out.
You're supposed to date a bunch of college.
Yeah, who the hell wants anything long term until you're out of college and you know in your early 20s anyway? In a pharmacy school. What are you planning on doing?
Well, right now maybe like psychobio or something like that.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
It's heavy duty. And then what?
I'm thinking about. I should have done this in the beginning to go to nursing school, but maybe like go to a 2-year program.
No, you're too good for nursing school, baby. That's for the junior college folks.
You're going to be
a full-fledged doctor.
But then go back and work my way up to get my master's and PhD or whatever.
All right, you focus on school and your friends. How about your friends?
What do you mean?
People that care about you.
Have fun with your friends.
Yeah, people are close to you.
Yeah, and then date.
There you go.
And then you get into something after you graduate. Let's talk to...
Wrong line, 3.
Oops. Oh, okay. Let's talk to... Bernice, who's 16.
Yes.
What's up?
Hi. I've recently had this thing with a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't seen him since this one occurrence that happened about 5 months ago.
What happened?
He asked me to meet him outside around... 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeesh.
And
how do you meet someone outside at 4 a.m?
Yeah.
He asked you during school hours to meet me later that night?
You mean school night?
What did he do? Call you at home or did you talk to him in class?
He sent me an email.
All right.
Yeah, and I thought that was kind of weird, but...
Sure.
I went anyway. And, What happened is we both got drunk, but I think he slipped something in my drink.
Why?
Because I've been diagnosed as alcoholic for about 6 months now.
Right. So you would tend to black out rather easily then. It's part of the disease.
No, so I don't.
You did that time.
Well, I did that time. That's what I'm saying right now.
So you went out. What were you drinking?
Excuse me?
What were you drinking?
Jack Daniels.
All right, look. You're an alcoholic drinking hard liquor. It doesn't matter what the pharmacological agent was. It was sufficient to render you either unconscious or at least blacked out. You don't have to say there was something else slipped in. The whole circumstance is bizarre. The fact that you followed him out at 4 a.m. Let's go ahead and report this to the people at school, right?
That's no, we can't what I wanted hear to talk to you about. I wanted to.
Well, did you have sex with him?
I don't remember most of the night. I woke up like around noon the next morning in his car.
Yeah,
in his car.
You've got to report this.
Well, hold on a second.
I don't want to report this. That's why I'm talking to you.
Okay, all right. Well, hold on a second. He picked you up at 4 a.m. You guys went somewhere.
Yeah.
Where'd you go?
We basically just drove around for a while, and then I live in the Uteris, so there's like these hills around here, so we just
parked up there, yeah, drank, and you woke up in his car at noon.
Yes.
And where was he?
He was driving to... We were in Burbank.
He was driving in the car when you woke up?
Yeah.
He wasn't going to school or something?
No, it was already noon. There was no way I was going to school by then.
No, isn't he a teacher at the school?
Yeah, he was my film teacher. I know how it sounds.
No, no, but where was he going? Doesn't he have to teach at school?
Yeah, it was all, I guess he called in a substitute that day or something. I don't know.
So he didn't go to school and you're driving his car. And when you woke up, what did he say?
Even when I was conscious at the time, I couldn't really grasp anything that was going on because I was still so like.
And then eventually he dropped you off at home.
No, I didn't want him to drop me off at home. I was scared out of my wits to be at home, so I asked him to drop it off at my friend's house.
Mm-hmm.
So I stayed there for a few
days. Did you tell anybody about this?
Nobody.
Oh my goodness.
Did your parents find it? Where did your parents think you were?
My parents basically thought that I'd ran away.
Okay. Well, listen, Bernice, first off, no more drinking. It's going to get you into trouble. Number two, the guy's a criminal. If you have a counselor at school, you won't get into trouble. It's not your fault. You're a minor. Go to your counselor and just talk to your counselor.
He is really going to take advantage of many other people. You're not going to be the only one. And this is not somebody who likes you or cares about you. This is a criminal.
All right.
Please report this. Please.
Just talk to your counselor.
And anybody that knows Bernice.
Don't even look at his reporting it. Just go talk to your counselor.
Yeah.
Just go sit down and talk to him about what went on. Don't even think in terms of reporting or ratting.
Or tell your parents.
Just sit down with your counselor and have a chat. Right. That's all. Tell them what you told us. All right. We'll be back. It's Loveline. Engineer Chris, by the way, is
Coy.
He just does not do We're Starting the Show anymore. He just does the finger. Thanks, bud. Chris, I know it sounds like I'm picking on you tonight, but if I'm not near the microphone...
And waxing on about cars.
And I'm flapping my arms around and possibly using the F word. Give me the wave, like, hey, 10 seconds.
All right,
bud. Well, we're going to end the show on that.
That's good.
So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
When I went home for Christmas, she came back with me. And
where's home?
Blowhardville.
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.